Hi, Les.
Howdy.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Outstanding. We're back at it today, so.
When you talked about Lane Johnson the other day, you mentioned that he wouldn't be working with the ones, and you seemed a little bit concerned about, you know, how that would work out for him, not, you know, in his development. What have you seen these first 3 days? How is he doing?
He's doing a real good job, and I think it's one of the byproducts is it's probably beneficial that he's not with Todd all the time, because Todd, being the older guy, is a lot of times makes all the calls on the right side. Lane's forced to kind of be a little bit more vocal. So, you know, there is a development going on there, and he's working extremely hard, you know, for the time we have. We got him from now until the end of camp. But right when we break for the first game, he'll be gone for that time, and he won't be allowed to be in the facility. So. Alan's done a really nice job. You know, I think he's very experienced. You know, as I said the other day, the biggest thing for him was just getting comfortable, kind of maybe being in a more of a right-handed stance, just because he's on the right side. He spent a predominant amount of time for himself on the left side, whether it be left guard or left tackle. But he has rotated in probably a little bit more at guard. You know, last year did play for us tackle in the Packers game, but he's really transitioned pretty well over there, and so far it's been pretty positive for him. So.
You talked about tempering expectations with high draft picks the other day, but given that Marcus Smith, how have you seen, with so many eyes on him, being that he's picked, how has he performed?
And Marcus done a great job with it, and I think both him and all the guys we have in here, is they understand that the only expectations they have to rise to are the ones that the coaching staff and they have for themselves, and not really get caught up in whether it be positive or negative in terms of what people are saying on the outside about him. I've seen a steady improvement from him. I think he's getting a lot more comfortable in terms of what we're doing. So, you know, we're excited about seeing where he progresses, but I think he's handled that really well, to be honest with you.
Chip, Cooper didn't practice the other day. He was wearing a helmet sometime. What's the situation with him?
He's got a foot that he's working on. He should be back very shortly. So.
How about Polk?
Polk's got a hamstring, I think it is. He should be back very shortly, too. So. He's got a back. I think he's back tomorrow. So none of those guys are out. They're only out for a couple of days, from what I understand right now. So.
He had a back issue at the end of last year, right? It's kind of carryover.
I think it's a separate one.
Chip, you averaged yards play when you went two tight ends for the first and 10 last year, which I think was tops in the NFL. You also were very good 13 personnel, I think 6, 7 yards. How do you balance using two successful personnel units? Is it strictly based on what the defense is showing you, or do you want to come out and...
It's a combination of all that. You know, what is the defense going to present when you're in certain looks? You know, I think sometimes those numbers get skewed because if there's not enough data attached to it, you know what I mean? So you average 8 yards, but you only had 4 attempts and you average 8 yards a carry, it can be skewed. Sometimes you look at it, I think sometimes when you look at that and just look at the quick stats, you can have a carry a 0, carry a 0, carry a 60, and then you say, hey, we ran it 3 times for 20 yards at pop. Well, we didn't. We actually carried it 1 time for 60 yards because 2 guys missed a tackle, and the other 2 times we get it blown up in our face. So we don't always look at this. You gotta look at what you're doing in those situations, but you also have to study kind of what happened in those situations too. So
you use those personnel the most on first down. 120 plays.
What, two tight ends?
12, and then 13 was like 100 and whatever. 19.
We used 11, I would guarantee you, more than that on first down.
Okay.
11 personnel overall on first down.
I meant 11 personnel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 11 and 12.
Yeah, 11 and 12. We didn't use much 13, to be honest with you.
11 and 12 are the ones you use the most.
Mm-hmm.
Do you envision more two tight end sets just because of Hurts and I guess his expected maturation and Casey more in the system, or is it strictly what teams are going to show you?
Again, like I said earlier, it's a combination of everything. I don't know who develops. How does Brad Smith develop? How does Jordan Matthews come along? You know, where are we with Jeff Mayo? Where are we with Josh Huff? You know, what's James Casey in the mix? How much are you going to see Darren Sproles and LeSean in the backfield at the same time? But, you know, 3 practices in, we're still on day 4 of insertion. We're not, as a staff, saying, hey, how much of this are we going to run? So you're going to see us in all those. You'll see 20 personnel today. You'll see 10 personnel today. You'll see 11, 12, and 13. It's all just kind of mixed in right now.
Marcus, you got linebacker, there's no new faces. Why did the decision to keep what you had there and the development of those players, what have you seen in their second year?
I think a lot of times people get caught up. That wasn't a decision. It's just what's there in the draft. You know, you could say we were really excited about taking a linebacker in the first round, but we didn't have a first round grade on him. Or maybe we had a first round grade on one linebacker, and then the next linebackers that were available, we had really low grades on. And then when it came time to pick, you know, you kind of looked at it. There were probably some linebackers on the board in the third and fourth round, but maybe the guys we picked in the third and fourth round, whether it be at receiver or at defensive line or whatever, had maybe a higher grade at that time. I think at every position, we're always looking to upgrade, but sometimes it doesn't. You just can't say, hey, we're going to get ourselves an inside linebacker in the first round. Well, if you only have one guy that had a grade as a first-round grade and he gets picked before you go, you don't say, all right, I'm going to take the next guy on the board. So we're always looking to improve. We do like our depth, but some of it's unproven, you know, and that's the one big question with, you know, really besides Michael and D'Amico, Najee's the only one who's got really some quality snaps in there. So trying to find out who that fourth linebacker is part of what this whole camp process is all about.
What kind of progress do you want to see from Brandon Graham from last year to this season, and what are you looking for from him in camp, and where do you anticipate he can get to in his career?
We want to see Brandon just expand in every role. You know, I think we've really seen it, I think, through the spring and in camp so far with Trent in terms of his understanding and dropping into coverage and doing some of those things. You know, the transition for Trent and Brandon is a little bit more difficult than all the other guys that are playing outside linebacker because those guys had never dropped. They're more defensive ends than they were outside linebackers were. Marcus is an outside linebacker. Travis Long is an outside linebacker. Josh Kadu, Connor, Brayman, they were all outside linebackers. So just getting more comfortable being on his feet, being able to understand that sometimes he's going forward, sometimes he's going backwards. So, you know, just really his overall game. But I think for Brandon, you know, you got certain pass rush skills that he's always demonstrated. More getting comfortable in the drop aspect of things.
Darren Sproles, last year at this time, you had a veteran Isaac Sokolaga kind of mentor the young guys along the defensive line. Obviously, now that he's gone, I mean, those guys all got some experience last year. I mean, what do you see as in their growth? Do you think they need that kind of veteran still?
No, and they didn't have – I don't know if that wasn't the reason we brought Soap in. We brought Soap in because we thought he could compete for the starting nose guard job. But, you know, I think you got guys like Fletcher and Cedric that had a great approach when they got here. And then the thing that impressed us is, you know, you got two kids in Benny Logan and Damon Squirrel came out of outstanding college programs at LSU and Alabama. So, you know, it wasn't like when they got here they didn't know how to work or didn't know how to practice. They were learning a new system in terms of how we do things call-wise, what are these things made. But they had done two gapping and one gapping in their life before. So I think we got a really, really good group in that room right now. I like their mindsets and how they get after it. So I don't think they needed a veteran to show them anything. You know, I think, and even really in Soap's situation, he was learning how we do things because obviously we do things differently than the 49ers. So.
Darren Sproles run behind a zone blocking scheme in New Orleans, and what about his skill set makes him a good fit for what?
Yeah, I think everybody runs, I don't know to what extent, but everybody runs some types of zone plays and everybody runs some types of man plays. You know, it's just some teams feature, you know, are more heavy on the zone schemes and then man is a change-up for them. Other people are heavy on man schemes and the zone is a change-up for them. So what we're doing, you know, in our run game, the terminology is different for him, but he's run all those schemes before in his life. So,
Chip, what have you seen from Mark Sanchez so far? How do you think he's adapted to your style of offense?
I think Mark's been outstanding since he's been here. You know, obviously he was coming off a shoulder surgery coming out of the Jets and in the spring, we were kind of monitoring him to see how his shoulder was coming along, and I think he's picked things up very quickly. You know, I said it the other day when I talked about him. This is his fourth system since he's been in the league, and he hasn't been in the league that long. He had three systems when he was in with the Jets, and now this is his fourth system. So, but a lot of things that all of us do, no matter where you're coaching, you know, it's still four verticals. You know, we call it differently than the way Marty called it, but they ran four verticals when here at the Eagles. Marty runs four verticals. When you watch the Jets tape, we run four verticals. So a lot of time it's just kind of crossing over. This is how we're calling it, you know, and in our protection, you know, you call it two jet, three jet, we call it this. You know, it's a lot of times it's just a trying to bridge a gap of the words where it becomes he's not thinking. And then I think right now he's gotten really comfortable. You can tell he's really spent a lot of time from a mental aspect at it. And what you're starting to see is he's making a lot quicker decisions than he did in the spring. Not that he was slow in the spring, but I think he's really starting to feel more comfortable in terms of what we're trying to do.
You said you needed to build him back up psychologically at all after what he went through with the Jets?
No. I mean, I didn't really get into that. I think the Mark Sanchez I know is very positive, very upbeat. You know, he's when every day he's here, the, you know, there's an energy you can feed off him with. So I didn't get any feeling when he walked in our building that, you know, boy, this guy's really down in the dumps. We need to pick him up. I think he's a, if you've been around him, and I know you've been around him up there, I think he's a positive guy to be around and a lot of fun to coach.
You had Kyle Schirmer working out with the quarterbacks the other day. Really digging down deep, and what is he
going to
come back and tell us?
No, I think we have Kyle Schirmer here, Jeff Stoutland's son's here, Bill Musgrave's son is here, a couple other kids have their kids running around the camp. I think it's positive that, you know, fathers and sons can be around while they're in the work environment. They're just ball boys running around, and if whenever we need an extra arm somewhere, they get them. I know Ted Williams' son was here, who's another really good quarterback out of South Jersey going on to play quarterback. Ted's son's been here throwing around, so I just think it's positive that we got a, you know, a chance to have a lot of coaches with their kids and bring them out to practice. So.
You can also talk about Lito Shepherd being here, you know, and the fact that there's tradition here and you guys bring back old guys to kind of...
Well, there's the Bill Walsh Minority Intern Program is a great program that they started in this league a long, long time ago, and I think we've got five guys that are participating in that. I think we had four or five last year. Trey Thomas, one of them last year, and Trey ended up staying with us because we had an opening for him, but just getting a chance to meet Lito and what a career he had here as an Eagle and get a chance to get him back here, and if he can help impart some wisdom on some of our young corners and young safeties in terms of how he saw things, I think it's a positive impact.
You mentioned Columbus made draft weekend about drafting smart guys, guys who graduated on academic All-Americans and all that. How do you see that translating to the field as far as being able to retain stuff and apply it?
I think it's helped. You know, there's a lot to that. That's not a hard and fast rule. It's probably maybe more of a guy looking at two guys are even, it's a way to kind of break the tie, so to speak, but it's not, we're never going to draft a guy unless he has. It's just, it seems like it works out that way, but we just want guys here that have a passion for playing football and a passion for anything they do, and whatever they do, they want to be successful at. I think it's one way, and you know, you kind of look at it and say, you know, where's this guy's stick-to-itiveness, you know, and you look at it and see how he's, no matter what challenge he's given, he faces up to it and perseveres through it. So I think it's a positive thing. I think from a football standpoint, all of those guys have really handled the transition well. You know, they all come from different programs, and, you know, a lot of it is just learning a new language, you know, and there's not a Rosetta Stone for football. So I don't think you can, you know, kind of cram it. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some work. And it's we got a bunch of guys that kind of take really enjoy, I think, playing football and learning football. So I think they've handled it really well.
You mentioned a few times, Chip, that receivers seldom get wide open, that most passes are contested.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why you like receivers that can go up and get it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Riley's strength? I mean, is that what he's good at?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things about Riley, number one, he's got a baseball background, so he does a great job of tracking deep balls, and I think there's a lot, that's a lot easier said than done. You know, being able to understand how to adjust and put himself into position, because being a good outfielder in baseball, you know, you just can't make the catch. You got to also be in position when you make the catch, then to throw the ball. You know, so how do you circle around it? How do you put yourself in position to do different things? And I think Riley understands that because of his background from that, and the fact that he's a 230-pound receiver. It's tough to be really truly physical and just keep him pinned on the line of scrimmage. You know, in this league, it is continuing to go that way. You know, if you think two of the best corners, you know, Patrick Peterson is. Guy just signed an outstanding contract, who I think is one of the tops in the league. Richard Sherman, probably the two highest paid guys, probably the two best guys, are both big physical corners, and they're going to try to beat you up on a line of scrimmage. And if you can't get off the line of scrimmage, you're done. You know, and I think that's where, you know, moving towards that, I think the corners are getting bigger in this league. I think the wideouts are getting bigger in this league. But that's one of Riley's strengths, is his ability to kind of get off that stuff. And no one's going to get off clean and just be running, like you said, down the field with no one around him for 4 or 5 yards. When the ball's up, now you got to be able to go get it. And then having a 6'4 guy that's 230 pounds, it helps. So.
Benny added 10 pounds.
Okay.